The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed.
Everybody has questions that aren't being answered.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Conspiracy Castle / Million Truther March, starring, I know Marv from My Family Thinks I'm Crazy, I know Brandon and Ryan from Dangerous World, and I know Lala, I just interviewed her on my show, but I've yet to meet the other three people. So, Mark, the rest of the show is up to you, bud. This is yours. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, no, like you said, I'm Mark, and I wanted to gather everyone here today to do a fun swap cast, and then some extra people jumped in, which is great. No reason to exclude anybody, because, I think we all might have a relevant opinion on the topic at hand. Yeah, Ryan, we wanted to talk about Oklahoma City, because it was actually in April, I think the year was 1990 something when this actually took place. But I mean, I've always been interested in the truth behind these events that we see in the news that get, you know, solved in a day. They find the guy within the week, you know, and they know exactly his manifesto, and, you know, everything just falls into place in such a way that seems orchestrated, right? And maybe I'll just start with that, and you guys can weigh what you think, you know, if you've heard of the Oklahoma City bombing before, if you know about it. And then once we get that opinion, maybe we can actually talk about what happened.
Well, yeah, dude, I mean, you sent me, so I think we're talking April 19th, 1995, and you sent me this fascinating little documentary, 30 minutes long, from Chris Emery, called he wrote a book, or it was about a DVD that he put out called A Noble Lie. And it was very interesting. This dude dug deep, and he did like 8 years of research just trying to get the behind the scenes of what happened. And this dude, you know, Timothy McVeigh, was he just a white supremacist dude, or was he like someone that might have been funded by the FBI or the ATF or whoever it was? I mean, that there was a joint task force of the FBI and the ATF that investigated what was going on here. I mean, the dude had 8 different identities in 8 different states under 8 different names. Everything just screams of like a black operation, right? And then when you start learning about how you have the CIA starting to investigate like what this guy was actually doing, there's something more here, dude. And then false flags are popping up multiple times a week now. We're getting like a school shooting every day, it seems like. So it, as tragic as it is, what's the deeper agenda behind it?
Well, it's control, but I think with Oklahoma City bombing is there was a lot of information in there. Like there's a lot of information from the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. And so they had to cover up that information. So that's supposedly why they blew up the inside of that building, is to cover up the plans. It's like what they did with Tower 7 from 9/11. So that's what I was under the impression of why they blew up that building, that federal building in Oklahoma. But it's obviously a false flag. Like, we know that it wasn't one guy with a truck with, you know, fertilizer.
Yeah, can I ask right off the bat, guys, has anyone actually seen any evidence of that being the case, where these, because there's another conspiracy theory out there saying that the Whitewater documents were hidden in there, and that only 4 days later, if these documents had been preserved through the Government Accountability Office, which apparently had some workings in the OKC building, that they would have been held up to justice. I personally have no.
Let me ask you this. Obviously, we haven't seen any FBI documents, but do you think there was any important FBI documents in an FBI building?
Right. Yeah. No. Absolutely. It's a matter.
So
of
So, would you agree that FBI important documents got blown up?
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
I don't know what was on it. I don't know what was covered up. I'm just saying that it was looks at false flag done for a reason, whether it's to start a never ending war in the Middle East or whether it's to cover up stuff and investigator. Because like that's you burn stuff. Then there's no paper trail.
For sure. It was just a question specifically about these documents, because I haven't seen any energy, any information or evidence to that point. I understand. Yeah. Some documents just went away. It's a question about which ones and were they the actual ones that people.
Well, let me go find you some burn up documents real quick. Let me go find you some ashes of some documents and show you that and tell me how good they read for you, how well you can read them.
Well, it's not only that, dude. Like, there's other people coming in here, and 168 people died the day that it happened, right? Like instantly or just like, you know, by circumstance. 168 people died, and then they found one other person. So a total of 169, but 168 people died that day. And in place of showing the entire case, you have a 168-page document that is given, right? And so I'm not saying that it's just because of numerology or whatever you want to call it, but this Merrick Garland was the lead prosecutor in this case. And that was Obama, like a Supreme Court Obama appointee, right? He ended up not getting it from what I understand. But it just, to me, it's fascinating when you start seeing the same numbers come up over and over again. And it makes it seem like, okay, something's going on here, dude, to where instead of having these 143 boxes of evidence, these are the documents that you're talking about, Alex. Instead of 143 boxes of documents being shown, we're going to get 168 page sort of brochure about what was actually going on that day. The Whitewater thing's fascinating, but I'm very interested to hear what everyone else has to say about the whole Oklahoma City bombing.
Ron, you lived through it, so go for it, Ron.
Yeah, you know, one of the questions that I asked was, you know, the one conspiracy theory that did come out before we even get into the John Doe 2 situation of the person that they allegedly said that they saw with Timothy McVeigh that day was possibly an Islamic terrorist or whatever. But going back to what Brandon said, or we were talking about the Whitewater papers, the Whitewater documents, and, you know, Whitewater was a big deal back in the day. And, you know, So say they blew the building up to get rid of the Whitewater documents. I mean, that's a huge, huge play to do to protect the Clintons. And I mean, and if that doesn't show you the power that the Clintons have, like just say hypothetically that that's true, that that building was blown up to do that, man, there would have had to been an awful lot of planning involved to make that happen. And not only that, you know, why wouldn't any of these documents be backed up on a computer? I mean, they had computers in 1995. I mean, why wouldn't that stuff have been backed up? I mean, why would they have all the Whitewater papers in one location in one building? I mean, it's possible. I mean, we know how the federal government works. You know, they don't have their act together, really.
They're not that competent.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. And, So I mean, if the Clintons went down for the Whitewater thing, that was a whole land deal that they were doing. I mean, would that have been worth killing 168 people, which a number of those were children, right? There was a daycare center there for the people that worked in the building. And I mean, just everything that had to be put together, and for people like Timothy McVeigh to basically sacrifice himself because he had to know. I mean, if the Clintons were involved, somebody is going to go down. Somebody's going to be the patsy. Right. There's always going to be a patsy. So and then that leads us to the other theory, the John Doe, too, like the other person that was with him. Now, the ATF or the FBI did arrest somebody that matched the description of the John Doe too. His name was Michael Bresca. He happened to be a member of the Aryan Republican Republic Army, which I'd never heard of. But I guess they had an enclave where they hung out, you know, all these white supremacists or whatever. And, you know, when they painted Timothy McVeigh as a white supremacist, right? So even back then, they were playing a white supremacist angle, right? But I think, you know, the theory that it was to get rid of Whitewater documents, yeah, it's a theory, but I think it's a little bit of a stretch. I think there's more. I think there was a lot more to this than just, you know, dealing with the Clintons. Although, you know, dealing with the Clintons has proved to be a not a very good thing to do, you know, as far as longevity is concerned.
Well, Ron, that's exactly what I was about to ask. You said, was it worth it? And I was going to say, if we're talking about the Clintons and one thing of documents in the idea that that was the only copy, we are talking about the Clintons. I don't think that there's a worth it that they wouldn't go to. So if in the idea that this is exactly what we're following, I don't see them not taking that stance, because the bigger deal that they made of it, instead of a double tap to the back of the head, the more likely it is that there was a bigger agenda and Whitewater is not the purpose. That's the perfect cover up on reverse psychology.
Right. Right. Yeah. And people may come back and say, you know, because, you know, the Clintons were involved in a lot of things. I mean, you know, how the Bill Clinton was involved with the whole thing in Mena, Arkansas, with the drug trafficking.
Well, I will say
he had to be heavy into that.
At the time, you got to consider, previous to this Oklahoma City occasion, you had Ruby Ridge, you had the Waco siege. So there was a big, you know, movement in the country for people to form these groups. And there always has been. But I think what we were seeing was the early stages of this false flag scheduled attack against anyone who takes the Second Amendment rights seriously and actually uses them. I mean, obviously, I'm not someone who's been to Waco, so I don't know if they're actually doing cult things and being, you know, hurting people there. But from what I understand, they just had these weapons and they felt like they were threatened from the government, so they armed themselves even more and they tried to be their own independent community. And we know that the federal government doesn't want to incentivize that. And even more so, we're seeing with the future since Oklahoma City, the more and more this push to ban weapons, ban assault rifles, ban our Second Amendment rights. And I think that there is some, you know, weight to the argument that these events may have been orchestrated for that agenda, to take our guns away, to create this sense of guns are bad and guns are anachronistic to the American lifestyle, which I don't think is the truth. I think it's inherent to the American lifestyle that we have the right to defend ourselves from tyrants. That's why it's in the Constitution, right? So it's a very hard job for these globalists to push this agenda. So they need to use trauma-based mind control tactics, like orchestrated events where actual people die. Now, there are some people who say, oh, well, nothing happened. Nobody actually died. It was all just camera tricks. I mean, there are some false flag situations where that's what people say. I mean, especially when you look at some school shootings, right? We don't need to mention it. I don't know if we're streaming on YouTube, but we don't, you know, we don't want to say the town in particular because that'll get us off YouTube real quick. But that's the degree of extremity that we're dealing with in this realm of conspiracy. Is some people say, oh, well, it never even happened. And I don't think that we're talking about that here. I think most of us would agree that, like, it didn't happen the way the mainstream story tells us, but it was orchestrated and manipulated to go a certain way. And characters like Timothy McVeigh, who are military veterans who maybe have gone through these weird programs like MKUltra, were manipulated to do those things. Brandon, you've been jumping at the bit to say something.
Just to note, to remind everybody that I think Timothy McVeigh was cited at both of the incidents that you mentioned earlier, Ruby Ridge and Waco. I think he was actually interviewed on camera for Waco too. So that just shows you a little bit of the scale of the long game that these people would be playing if they were as you say they are. To pull it into something a little bit more contemporary, you know, Biden's pick for the head of the ATF is also the one. It has also been notably going along with that mainstream, storyline for that they've been pushing out for a long time. That even Janet Yellen, the head of the FBI at that time, was saying like, "Hey, we screwed up. We shouldn't have done a lot of the things that we did." Biden's pick is kind of really towing the line that even Janet Yellen wouldn't back up on.
Yeah, Brandon, and Biden's pick was involved in Waco.
What, and who's this, Daniel Chipman or David Chipman? I mean, that's who we're talking about here.
The ATF pick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure of the guy's name, but he was involved in Waco. Hey, look, this thing in Oklahoma City could have actually been a 2 or 3-fold thing. One, get rid of the Whitewater paperwork. But they're not going to be looking at that, right? That's just the end conspiracy. But it could have been to push the same agenda that they're pushing right now. They're pushing the domestic terrorism and they're pushing the white supremacy, right? And it's the same thing then. It's almost like history repeating itself. If it was a false flag, it could be to, they've already, it's been years that they've been trying to put this whole agenda together. And now we're coming up to it again. It could have been a multifaceted reason for the Oklahoma City bombing to take place.
Well, as far as proof is, you know, that it was a false flag, wasn't there that whole thing where some of the federal agents, or like most of them, didn't go to work that day, the day the bombing happened?
Yeah,
and that's the case with 9/11 too, where some of those executives didn't show up that day, and even the flights, you know, people, certain celebrities have stories like, oh, well, I got a phone call and I didn't take that flight that day, you know. But I think, you know, in a lot of these cases, we're dealing with something like a Manchurian candidate, right? I mean, would we all agree on that? But, you know, Oklahoma.
I'd argue I am a Manchurian candidate.
I believe it.
He's definitely a plant.
There was also the whistleblower cop who supposedly killed himself, but was found, I think with a gunshot. They had no gun there. He had burn marks all over his neck. It looked like he was really tortured and shot execution style. But the official story was that he killed himself and he was blowing the whistle on the facts of what actually happened that day.
This is in OKC.
Saying that he was dragged behind the car too, that same guy. So, I mean, like, yeah, there's so many things here, dude, where it's just like, if you're going to come out against it, same thing with, Susan Rice with the guy that was selling cigarettes. What's that guy's name? Anyone want to jump in and help me out here with the name
Michael,
of the dude?
Michael
that
Brown.
Was selling cigarettes?
Michael Brown.
You know, Obama smoked for forever, and that was a secret. Nobody ever saw him smoking. Obama was a smoker. What do you think about that, Brandon? I bet you fucking love cigarettes. You'd love a cigarette with Obama.
Ryan and I were talking about before this how we're going to have like a cigarette off because I can pick up the hints.
Shut
of the cigarette.
Shut the fuck up, dude. I'm clairvoyant. Yeah. How did I know that you're going to be in a cigarette competition?
Well,
dude,
no, what he's
with
gonna
Obama,
do,
Obama, dude. What the fuck? I'm
what,
a sound
what
like
Brandon's
Ms. Cleo.
Gonna do. We're gonna give Brandon a random cigarette, and he's gonna be able to tell you what it is. And then
I'm gonna take
a White Claw or a sparkling cider of some sort and tell you where that's coming from. So this has nothing to do with OKC, but Brandon does know his tobacco, his cheap tobacco. Even though he's all about health, that's why he got the vaccine. Okay. And then that's why I'm sitting here and I'm going to tell you
ripping
about
lung darts with a like vaccine, this, vaccinated lung dart, huh? That's real good for your respiratory system. But let me just tell you this. I stopped smoking lung darts and I'm not even going to hate. I know they feel good. They kind of put you in a good mood. But I'm telling you, it's so easy to tell a shitty cigarette. They taste like shit. I mean, you can tell a Marlboro Light from this is what I'm saying. You might not be able to tell the difference in like a Marlboro 27. And even then I think you could tell the difference between, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's so minute. I can tell the difference between 100 and a short cigarette, even if it's the same cigarette. Like I'm telling you, if when I used to smoke cigarettes, if they only had longs, 100s, and not the short, I wouldn't even buy it because they taste different. So, yeah, dude. And
I feel you've got some stories about sucking on some other things other than just cigarettes, Alex.
Yeah, titties.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, sucking on a lot of titties and a lot of vaginal areas. Yes.
Alex, so a Marlboro 72 is what I smoke.
Exactly. That tastes way different
than a regular Marlboro. It's
exactly. So, see, you know, Ron.
Yeah. More importantly, can Timothy McVeigh tell the difference between these cigarettes? You know what I mean? That's the real question here, because he was under some MK Ultra mind control shit. I think that's the real important stuff that we need to really like talk about.
Well, last thing on the cigarettes, I like those 72. Those are good cigarettes. The short ones, they're nice because that's all you need is a short cigarette. Long cigarettes, ridiculous. Nothing about smoking. It's bad for your health. Kids, don't do it. I'm not a role model. Do not do anything that I do. Do the opposite. Okay, go ahead, sir.
I interviewed a lady, Penny Shepherd, who had been MK Ultra for most of her life. And she's like in her 50s or 60s. And she just has a really interesting story. I think that every single person included in any false flag really is under MK Ultra.
Yeah, I think the definition of MK Ultra definitely has been expanded because a lot of these programs have gone into entertainment, music. They've affected people who are influential in these industries. And yeah, to a certain degree now with the inundation of entertainment, you know, all these screens in our faces all the time, people are getting these symbols. And I don't think it's all bad. I'm not someone who's like, oh, you know, shut the TV off because you're being brainwashed. But I mean, that's literally what's happening. And it's got to, you got to take that leap yourself. You know, I don't think it's on anyone to pull anyone else out of it. It's individual decision, right?
I think 2020 was a great. I think 2020 was a great example of modern MK Ultra. I mean, look at everybody. They're still walking around with a mask on. Still, it's been a year.
Yeah. Well, it's really it's their own fault at this point. I mean, the information is so out there. If you just look for it, you can find a whole new narrative than what the false lying media is telling you. And consistently over and over, whether it's Las Vegas, 9/11, any of these school shootings, Columbine in Oklahoma City, right? Columbine was in April and Oklahoma City bombing was in April. So that's kind of where Ryan and I had the idea for this, you know, and I think, you know, there are real victims of these crimes, but the media portrays them in such a degree that, you know, it's just sad because the people who are committing the crimes are victims in a sense, like you said, they're MK Ultra in a lot of cases. And yeah, that's the theme, that's the pattern that I think a lot of people who research these conspiracies notice. Brandon, you have somewhere to
can I ask, can anyone push their mind far enough to think though that Timothy McVeigh is categorically innocent in this case? Because if I don't think it's too far of a stretch to say that if he was brainwashed, as you guys, I think, posit, I don't know the extent of that brainwashing, but it seems to me like someone like Trump, like letting, I don't know Timothy McVeigh's status. I don't even know if he's alive anymore. But
he was executed. Yeah,
well, he was executed. Yeah.
For people who are said to have been guilty of these false flag events, you know, Lala, you said anyone who's part of these has been in MK Ultra, is the best form of justice to let them off? Like, are we going to that extent?
No, I don't think so. I mean,
I wouldn't say that. I think there's definitely circumstance. I think, you know, I'm not a veteran, so I never made the decision to give my, you know, human body over to the federal government in that way. But I think when people do make the decision to join the military, they give away a large amount of control and freedom that they have if they didn't do that. And I think
like Brandon taking all those experimental vaccines, sorry.
Yeah. But also, I mean, yeah, there's also like volunteers. Like there are certain people that need money and they go and do a study at one of these labs, and or even college students who have a professor who happens to be involved with something like this. So there's a large degree of people that have been involved in it, but I definitely don't think it's like without their accountability. I mean, you do put yourself in a certain position, Brandon, but I definitely think when it comes, like when, especially when it comes to taking someone else's life, right? But you definitely have accountability. But yeah, if there's drugs being administered, if there's hypnosis that's being undergone, I mean, there is a certain amount of psychological damage that can be done. And then that person can be turned into essentially a Manchurian candidate. I mean, you saw that with the Texas shooting. That guy who went up in the school tower there, or the clock tower, You know, there's a lot of Jay Dyer was just on Tinfoil Hat talking about this, actually, as a matter of fact. You know, he went through how all these serial killers and mass shooters have this weird military connection, you know, like a strange synchronicity there.
And well, head trauma too, right?
Oh, I'm sorry, Ben. I think it's important that everybody knows that Timmy McVeigh owned up to that. Like he admitted that, and he said, you know, I don't want to even go. I'm not even going to fight this. Just execute me and get it over with.
So it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah,
wouldn't
but I know.
Be,
but
wouldn't
I think
that be something that somebody who served their country would do when they know they're doomed anyway?
Yeah,
and that's what I was just going to say. I mean, he knew he was going to go down either way. So why sit in jail the rest of your life? Just get taken out and go from there.
Well, that's what I was about to bring it full circle to is that you guys were talking about. You know, there were innocents that were lost in these tragedies, and then we're also talking about MKUltra, we're also talking about bigger agenda. You're talking about so many different pawns on the chessboard that are getting moved around by the bigger person and the bigger, you know, what do they call them, the guy pulling the strings. I would not at all after this last year be surprised if every single one of those was true. I wouldn't be surprised if he was MKUltra. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a certain amount of responsibility that was not due him. And also, as you guys have stated, you put yourself in a circumstance to get MKUltra. So now there is that responsibility. I also believe that there were innocents at play that had zero idea. I also believe that like 9/11, people, key players, celebrities, security guards, things like that were told ahead of time with absolutely no other information to not go to work that day. I think that all of those could very well be true by somebody that is actually plotting this, and that is where the bigger mind picture comes from. You don't have all of these things line up that closely together, that rapid fire, and even the idea, whether you go back to Kennedy and you go back to Lee Harvey Oswald, all of these guys that have this military training, they're snipers, they're doing this, that, and the other. Wouldn't that be a perfect narrative to continuously spin if you were wanting to push a certain agenda that these things happen by a particular kind of person?
Oh, yeah. Agreed 100% there.
I do think that, you know, there's a difference between Lee Harvey Oswald and Timothy McVeigh.
Of course.
I mean, Timothy McVeigh, it seems to be that there was, I mean, I don't want to go too crazy on the conspiracy theory shit, but there's no way that Lee Harvey Oswald pulled that incident off alone. There's,
nah.
Even how, if he had a part in it, right?
How crazy are you willing to get, Ryan? I mean,
I honestly think it was George H.W. Bush, because he said that he wasn't fucking, he doesn't remember what was going on that day. He doesn't remember where he was. So, I mean, I think that it was the Bush family. And then if you get in, like, there's a couple of great books out there that you can do your own research. You can find what you want to get into. But whether it was the CIA, whether it was the mafia, whether it was the deep state, that's a good one right there to get into. I mean, there's a serious problem when we start just absorbing the mainstream media narrative. You know, whether it is in the 60s or whether it's today. And that's the problem that I see with a lot of people that are just so willing to fall in line with what the government's telling you to do today. You bring them Operation Northwoods. You bring them the whole idea about the Kennedy assassination. Even going back to the freaking Abraham Lincoln assassination, a lot of people don't know that there was Russians involved with that assassination. You know what I mean? So it's like, well, our government has learned and we've gotten better and we don't do that anymore. That's not the case, man. It's not about black, white, brown, whatever other color. It's about green, dude. That's the only fucking thing that matters, dude, is like if you're rich or if you're not, or if you're well-connected or if you're not. And so that's the big problem here, is that a lot of people that are poor or middle-class think that these wealthy individuals have your best intentions in mind. And that's what's scary to me. That's very scary, because they hate you. They wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire, dude. That's the problem.
Go ahead, Ben.
Oh, I was going to say, I think that's actually a testament too to the fact that we're having this conversation right now about these events. Back then, this was not something that was possible. So the only information that we were getting was being fed to us the exact way that they were going to feed it to us. And it was the, we nom, nom, nom. We ate it up because that was what was given to us. Nowadays, we have this ability. We can sit there and pull information at our fingertips from everywhere and have certain dots lined up that we never had access to. I think that that's part of it is, I don't think that they knew the extent of the future. I think they had a good idea. And I think that that's where a lot of these cover-ups have come from, is get rid of the evidence before later on when you can backtrack. How many cases, if you, there's a reason why Dateline and 48 Hours still run, because they are literally getting cold cases from 20, 30 years ago with new technology to be able to open them back up. The best way to control the flow of information is the media. Everybody knows that. We also all know about the liberal media bias. The one way that they could spin a narrative is with a lack of evidence. And back then, they had that ability. They also controlled all of the information from whatever state you were in. If it wasn't OKC, the only information you got on it was exactly what was fed to you in all the major news sources. Now we can do this and talk about it. And I think that that's a big play as to why people are thinking so deep into these different conspiracies. We actually have the ability to.
That's why there was such a huge awakening too in the last, I mean, last year was its own thing, but even in, you know, the last 20 years since 2001, the 9/11 thing, ever since the internet kind of took off and there was all these circles people could talk in that had other information besides, your immediate circle of people. That's when it really started blowing up, and that's when you started getting Alex Jones and everyone else, questioning the moon landing, and then 9/11.
And chat forums. That's why
Alex Jones
become,
is a bitch ass about the moon landing. He's like pro moon landing.
But that's why they've become so desperate to, put drones in the sky and put masks on our face and put experimental mRNA vaccines in our arms. Like this is the death rattle of the elite, as Sam says, because the internet has gotten away from them. I think that, and like Ben was saying, now we have the ability to gather more evidence than ever before. I think that's why they're so desperate to like get these weird technologies where they can edit video and make it look like something happened that didn't happen. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I remember looking into 9/11 and seeing the Fox News video where the plane goes through the tower and the nose of the plane comes through the other side, which physically is impossible. If a plane hit a building, the nose of it wouldn't just shoot through once, and come out the other side. It would be disintegrated. So, obviously that was some kind of footage that they had doctored ahead of time. And I think, maybe that internet video was doctored, and I'm, foolish for believing it, as Brandon's expression would portray. But, I definitely, think that there's some real camera tricks that are now possible with some of these new technologies that as conspiracy truthers, we need to be wary of, because the whole term conspiracy theorist was born during a false flag event, the JFK shooting, which like Ryan got into. Too. There's so many different theories about that. I've heard things as crazy as like alien shot JFK. I have a t-shirt that I bought from Sam Tripoli that has that on it, alien shot JFK. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of theories out there, but when it comes to these events, it benefits the elite for there to be so much confusion around it and for there to be 100,000 theories. And then the Warren Commission can come in and be like, well, actually it was Oswald.
Just about to ask that. I had a hypothetical for you guys. Would any of you at all be surprised if right as we're talking about this or shortly after talking about this, when all of these conspiracies are blowing up, because now this has been the new way that they've done it. Would anybody be surprised if tomorrow they came out and they were like, yeah, so we just found out that Timothy McVeigh, who is now dead, was actually a part of a hypnosis group, and that's what caused it. Isn't that some shit? And they just totally opened it up to all the public, like, oh yeah, he was completely brainwashed. He's technically not really at fault. There is something bigger going on here, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. Now it's broken open. Now everybody who's been talking about it is like, oh shit, where do we go from here? I wouldn't at all be surprised if that was the route that they took, because they're opening it up themselves, which makes them look innocent. And that's been what they've been playing. We were talking, you know, several episodes ago about the Smith Act that came into play in 2012 and the revision that they did on it, where now they are basically allowed to do propaganda within the United States itself. My thing is this. I would not be surprised at all these days if the new information that they gave us was the perfect play of cover up from what we're all starting to find out at all. Would any of you be surprised by that if they came out and said that about Timothy McVeigh?
I mean, if this happened tomorrow, I would say that we should all get paid a lot more. but if it happened in the future, I would not be surprised at all.
Did you see Alex showed this last night? Sam Hyde like predicted that cop lady doing that whole thing, which I don't want to get into that. I think we're talking about a completely different topic, but definitely funny that this is something that's, you know, it's a real thing. Synchronicity is a real thing. And it doesn't just involve like catastrophic disasters. It can be as simple as like, oh, like I saw a bird and then all of a sudden, like, you know, I got a postcard with that same bird on it, you know, like, so it's the synchronicity is there's a range, you know, but I definitely think that the coincidences stack up far too deep for it to be chance in a lot of these false flag occasions, you know, like perfect scenarios. These shooters just have the perfect opportunities. Like the Vegas guy, like he was able to get all those guns in that hotel because he's just this gun runner. And like, you know, don't mind the people who claim there was helicopters in the sky that day. Don't mind the videos that show helicopters in the sky that day. You know, like don't listen to the people who say they heard gunfire from helicopters that day. Like, so this is the perspective that they hide from you and then tell you like, oh, it was this crazy guy who wanted to end his life, even though he was making millions of dollars running guns. And he just wanted to shoot a bunch of country singer fans because, you know, he was white and hates country music, apparently. Like, what the hell? That doesn't add up in any narrative, but that's what they told us, you know.
But Lala,
Stephen Paddock was a psyop, but yeah, go ahead, Brandon.
I was just gonna ask Lala because she mentioned the, you know, some real strong certainty about MK Ultra being involved in this. We've got a couple episodes on this. I'm pretty sure everyone on this this forum here has an episode touching on this issue. Isn't this one ironclad enough? Like, I always have an issue laying a conspiracy theory on top of a conspiracy theory. From my perspective, it's something that you don't need to explain it laid on top of something else that you don't need to explain it. So what draws your certainty to MK Ultra being the root cause here?
Because I think I've met you. No, here, this I know because I've met you, Brandon. I can tell you're under massive hypnosis. That's how one could happen. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I think that MK Ultra is this idea that, you know, it was born in the 70s or whatever, CIA, it doesn't happen that often, whatever. I mean, there's so many different layers and levels to what MK Ultra is. And I think it's much more common than a shooter. Like, I think that these are people that we go by every single day. And on a deeper level than just watching the mainstream media in that way, I think that MK Ultra is way more widespread than
So kind of like sleeper cells, or
aren't we kind of under mass MK Ultra with a culture war and race war?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, propaganda, isn't that basically MK Ultra?
How that's fair.
And let's look back at, I mean, because Lala basically laid it out for you there, Brandon. But let me go into the details a little bit more. I mean, in the 1950s, there was a gentleman who was talking to another gentleman named Carl Jung, right? What's the guy's fucking name? Of all times, I'm forgetting the guy's name now, but the guy, Alan Dulles, and he was talking to Carl Jung, who some of you guys might know was a psychoanalyst, very, very popular for his psychology, his takes on symbology and the human consciousness. And Alan Dulles was using this woman who was sleeping with Carl Jung, I'd imagine, to get this information from Carl Jung and use it to crack open the human mind. I mean, this is literally what they were writing about in these programs, is how to shatter the human mind. And they essentially created a methodology of taking a person and breaking down their psyche and then being able to manipulate them from that traumatized state, right?
They, they developed it at the Tavistock Institute. That's where they did all this. That's where they literally developed it all.
Right. Thank you, and Alex. I've had a lot of people kind of that I've met through this MKUltra victim where her entire role is trying to reach out to people. So you'll have a seemingly normal person with a family and they have no idea that they have MKUltra their entire life. One of my friends has recovered memories of literally being at Area 51 and being tested on. So I think that like the eraser in Men in Black, like is a real thing personally.
How far do you trust that kind of thing? The hypnotic regression and recovered memories, because it seems to be kind of dicey sometimes as far as what they seem to remember.
Too much conspiracy on the conspiracy castle here.
Not enough. We want conspiracy overload.
No, I mean, it's worth examining. Questioning it is not questioning you. So
rip, you blow it out. I'm just saying, you gotta say it mid rip, Mark. You can't even get this smoke out.
I did want to say too, because when we were talking about 9/11, have you guys seen the Judy Woods?
Well, I want to say Fractal Truth donated $2. I want to say love conspiracy castle, Mark. My family thinks I'm crazy and dangerous world, and she donated $2, so that's really nice. Thank you, Fractal.
Wow. Well, I will take this opportunity to say, you know, jump off of what Joe asked is like, you know, this MK Ultra, it's tough because, you know, when you talk about these hypnotic regression people, there are some people who are being given memories, right? So you have a therapist who might be leading someone into thinking that something more traumatic happened. And it's very easy once you're in this suggestible state to convince yourself of something that might have never even happened. So I think that might be the case with some people that, yeah, they have just been given this imagination for whatever reason that therapist gave it to them. Maybe that therapist has great intentions and they just have that in their mind, like, oh, this person must be an MKUltra victim. But I think there are a lot of shady people. I mean, I think there was one group that was under the guise of a hypnotic regression therapist that was actually using that to abuse children. So like there are these hypnosis practices that are very shady and are tied to MKUltra. And we do know that these groups target children, right? And it's most often military children, right? Because these people in the military have given their human rights over to the government. So their children are the property of the military, you know, and that's unfortunate and that's hard to hear. And I know there's probably people out there who are in the military that don't want to hear stuff like that because they're like, well, I'm serving my country, and that's fine. You know, you want to live in that illusion, that's fine. But at the end of the day, you know, there are real victims of actual crimes taking place under the banner of the U.S. military, whether it's the Navy, the Army, the Marines, or whatever, what have you. So, and that doesn't disclude the children and the families of those military people. And I think that's overwhelmingly the case with musicians, right? In the 60s, you saw in Laurel Canyon, all these great musicians just happened to be the sons and daughters of people who were high up in the military. And like, they were undergoing these weird, you know, practices at places like this Tavistock Institute and others. They would go to military bases and do these different practices that the military would put them through, experiments, I guess you can call them. I don't know why I'm calling them practices, but they're really just methods of, like I stated earlier, traumatizing someone and creating this split psychology where you disassociate with yourself and create this new identity that's supplanted in you. And I think that's, there's real evidence for that. I mean, there's whole hospitals of people with mental illnesses, and I think there's a variety of reasons for that. Toxicity and
all. I have a ton of mental health issues. Look at me, I'm insane. So we know it exists. I'm a living example. So
yeah, I mean, the title of my podcast says it all, but like, I think it's all about perspective, you know. And I think that even someone who's as crazy as and delusional has some truth to what they have to say. But in the case of like an MK Ultra victim, especially in the case of a celebrity who's undergone that, you see this common theme, you know, you see certain symbols that they use. And then you also see like the 27 Club, they all just happen to die at a young age, or they happen to be abusing drugs. And I think that's just indicative of what's going on in the military. They're trafficking drugs, they're trafficking people, they're trafficking children. This is criminal. It's criminal organizations that are under the guise of the institutions that are propping up our society, right?
So, as you're talking about that, Mark, did you see that whole thing where, like, when Britney Spears had her meltdown, she sold her mansion in, I think, Malibu to Brittany Murphy, and then Brittany Murphy died in that house. But like Britney Spears was freaking out about that.
I don't watch TMZ, Ryan. I know you're
fan, you know what? But... neither do I. Okay. But I'm just saying this is shit that has to do with what you're saying. So
I watch TMZ all the time. I mean,
you're bombing, Mark.
I only learn about celebrities through podcasts. So yeah, no, okay. Very minimally.
Well, I was trying to help you out there.
Thank you. I will look into Britney Spears and Britney Murphy more. I went to a school with a girl named Britney.
So you don't know. So what happened with this, with Britney Murphy and Britney Spears, is Britney Spears rented a house, or she owned a house in Beverly Hills, and it was supposedly haunted. Like, there was like, she had these people over that had a crazy weekend doing drugs and like doing like satanic rituals. And that the Monday morning she had like a nervous breakdown and said that she had to sell the house. She had to sell the house no matter what. And then the next buyer that moved in was Britney Murphy, and Britney Murphy died about 6 months later under weird circumstances. And then after that, Brittany Murphy's husband that stayed in the house for whatever reason died mysteriously a few months after.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm trying to keep it in the light, you know, I'm trying to live my life away from all that. So, you know, I'm trying to smoke a little weed. You guys are spooking me now.
I like a little spooky, a little spook about a little Halloween in April. Why not? I keep it a little scary. I love Halloween. But yeah, dude, we do live in a weird world of lies. But one thing that Ryan was saying is like, it's all about money, dude. I disagree. Dude. I don't even think they give a shit about money. I think it's all about total control. And I think it's about like the new world order.
If you think about these events, right? And when you really get into the conspiracy side of it, that maybe Brandon will have a lot of disagreement with, but like there's this certain pattern element of it, and it might be schizophrenic, but I think that there's truth to the patterns, like the numbers and the dates. There's something that's going on where there's this timeline, this cycle of time that these events are, like I said previously, orchestrated along. So key events astrologically, you know, like researchers like Chris Knowles, who I've had on my podcast, and he's been on Tim Fall Hat and many others, you know, he talks about this kind of symbolism a lot. And then you see the pattern in these events that hit the major mainstream news, especially the tragedies. And, you know, there's always these weird through lines that happen to connect things. And I think that's just the nature of the world we live in, right? This kind of ripple effect, this kind of morphogenic field that connects us all inherently as biological luminescent beings, right? So, you know, I think really you can seek the patterns, but ultimately what's going on is these elite are using that calendar, that timeline, that cycle, and placing these tragic events at certain points to take advantage of the power of those key points in the timeline, in the cycle, and then progress their agenda further, right? Because they understand time is cyclical. They understand these things. Maybe I'm saying that as if I'm confident in it, but I'm really not sure. That's just something that I've been gravitating towards lately. But yeah, it just seems to me like that adds up, that there's a pattern, a cycle, and they just place these tragic events on the timeline in a certain way that's beneficial to them, right? And they're brainwashing, and they're traumatizing us as their serfs in this kingdom of society.
Yeah, very true, dude. I mean, have we talked about this Dante Wright dude yet? Since we're talking about false flags, have we talked about Dante Wright and how this whole thing's gone on? I know you didn't want to get too much into current events, Mark, but I mean, it's ridiculous how this dude that was just shot in Minneapolis, he was actually taught in school by Courtney Ross, who was George Floyd's girlfriend, right? So, I mean, these two have a connection that is very rare, right? Has anyone heard about that?
Yeah, I know. It's all over the news talking about how she was his grade school teacher. I mean, I don't know. Does that mean that he didn't die? It's like, dude.
No.
I know you're not saying that. I'm just saying it's like, what is the level of truth?
No, you're building off the whole pattern-seeking thing. And I understand that, you know, that it might be interesting to look for patterns, but I think we also sometimes fall victim to, like, finding a pattern where there is none, you know.
But so why, that to be is skeptical. That is weird. That's too weird, dude. There's no, some sort of connection. Thing, dude,
exactly, Alex. And what I'm saying is, like, my thing is that the one thing, if you've been following this case that's been going on right now with George Floyd, Derek Chauvin, you follow this case and you see that there is overwhelming evidence that it seems that Chauvin should get off, right? I'm not saying,
you know, he had 10 times the lethal amount of fentanyl in his bloodstream.
Exactly. And I'm not saying he's a good guy. I'm not saying Chauvin's a good guy. He's not, he's no schoolboy. Okay. But what I am saying is that there was a weird stream of circumstances that led to this outcome. But while this highly publicized white on black crime is going on, something else happens. And then, like, before this happens, we find out that Chauvin and Floyd, they knew each other. Floyd has fucking Freemason fucking tattoos, Masonic tattoos all over his body. I mean, there's some very shady things going on. You know, supposedly Chauvin is part of the Thuggies. This is like an Indian cult, Red Dot Indian, like the you know, there's a lot of anomalies here, dude. So that's what I'm saying is, like, we need to fucking, like, look into why, after, like, the one thing that would hold the jury back from saying that Chauvin is innocent is because they don't want the country to burn down. Hey, they're already fucking rioting in Minneapolis, you know what I mean? That's where this whole thing went down. So what's,
I think
the
riots are going to happen regardless of the outcome. I mean, I heard somebody say that the other day. It doesn't really matter what happens. There's going to be craziness going on.
It's unless, like, he goes from the courthouse to the electric chair. That's the only reason that they wouldn't burn it down. And maybe they would anyway. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it's like a Raiders game. Whether they win or lose, they're going to burn down Oakland. No, but I do think that there's a little bit of truth in both areas. I'm always trying to find that balance between it. I think that it was a coincidence that it was that guy, but I think that they jumped on it the second that they made the connection. I think that that is most of the time the case. I think that they find, because think about it this way. If we didn't hear from the news that there was a connection between Dante and the girlfriend of George Floyd, we would have never known that, right? So how many of these things could have been connected that we never hear about? Well, I think that it was a coincidence, but I don't think that it's a coincidence. It's being publicized as not a coincidence. I think that that is exactly where their narrative pushing is going, is that they found, oh man, are you kidding me? One of the kids that George Floyd's girlfriend taught just got shot and killed by another white police officer.
Courtney Ross.
Oh my gosh. Right. Courtney Ross. And then they're, oh, and he's, oh man, the guy is in court right now for, yeah, we got to push this, push it to the front of the news. Let everybody know the connection. It's in the same spot. That, to me, seems more likely, that the coincidence of him getting shot and knowing them is a coincidence, but the narrative being pushed is exactly what they took a hold of and pushed it. I think there's probably a little bit of truth in both areas.
See, my opinion. I don't think it's that much of a coincidence, personally. I mean, like, when you find out that, like Trayvon Martin, I'm sure that you guys remember Trayvon Martin getting shot. His George dad Zimmerman, was a Freemason. Yep. His dad was friends with George Zimmerman. You know what I mean? When you start finding these things out later, it becomes so, like, it's too coincidental to where it's like these guys are both Freemasons. And then this kid was like a sacrifice in some sort of way. I'm not saying that's what it was, but it seems to be that that's when Black Lives Matter started, dude, was in 2012. You know what I mean? So it started with Trayvon Martin. So I just find it so coincidental that these things keep going on when we're trying to build back better, in Joe Biden's words. I mean, we're not going to be able to build back shit with riots going on constantly.
Well, and I agree with Joe. I think that it doesn't really matter which way the cards fall in the case. I think that there's going, because let me put it this way. I heard a great, great video from Ben Shapiro interviewing an NYC attorney who was sitting in during the Chauvin case the previous 2 weeks. Now, something that he said was, he goes, let me be clear that if the case goes any way other than a public lynching, which it will not, they have threatened to burn down the city. And that's exactly what's going to happen, in my opinion, because based on the evidence, based on the way that the case has been from a defense position, it doesn't look like he's going to get the first two charges, which are second degree murder and third degree murder. It looks like more like it's going to be involuntary manslaughter. If he gets involuntary manslaughter, they are going, he's going to, just my prediction, he's going to die. Like, no matter what, I think that one of those things, bad, awful things is going to happen to him regardless, because they, anything less than a first degree murder charge and conviction is not going to be good enough.
So I agree.
I want
to push this though, because that to me seems like the realization of the question I had earlier, which is, if this guy really is, I understand you guys think he will have something bad done to him. And let's say maybe he gets a manslaughter. He goes away for 20 years, but he ends up being Epstein'd. Like, I can't say that that's not going to happen. But what is the better thing then? And Ryan, I think you're leaning in this way. The better thing then is to let this guy off because of some kind of false flag government involvement. Is that the case in this instance, at least?
I think he's going to get off scot-free, honestly. That's just my idea of it. And I don't think that that is what's best, right? There should be some accountability. But if you've been watching the case, I mean, the worst part was when they started, the defense asked the court, and this is on record. You can hear an audio recording of this. The defense asked the court to refer to their client, George Floyd, as Jesus Christ. You can hear it on record. It's disgusting. And the fucking judge, he says straight up, we will not do that. That is absurd. We're not going to fucking do that. And then they're like, all right. And then they just go back and they just, okay, we'll just still do the same shit. So, I mean, like, they're swinging for the moon and they're going to get nothing, dude, in my opinion. Now, do I think that that's what should happen? No. But the way that this case is being built, it's fucking crazy, dude. And I don't think that there's any reason, from what I've seen, and I've been following it, I don't think that there's any reason that this dude should actually be convicted of even manslaughter. You know what I mean? The dude, like Alex said, was on enough fentanyl alone to kill a fucking elephant. And then he was also on meth and Percocets. You don't mix those three drugs, dude. You know what I mean? I mean, it's sad.
Well, you do mix them if you want to party.
I guess if you want to party to the grave. I mean, I just think that it's crazy, dude. It's crazy. What do you think, Alex?
Well, I mean, it's just so clear that Derek Chauvin's going to get off, but I guess we know that there's going to be a riot regardless. I think Joe said that. I mean, so it's another psyop to take our loose, to keep us in constant fight or flight.
Yeah,
to keep,
like, thank the blacks. You, Alex. Just, that's, you know, exactly just how I'm up. Feeling right now. I think my loosh is being drained by talking about this. This is kind of why I was like, yeah, let's not go into current events, because it's so, like, now, in the now, that, like, we can get wrapped into it. But until a decision is made or something, there's some kind of conclusion, there's really no solutions we can offer. I think the whole Floyd case has been talked about ad nauseum. I mean,
it's a lot like the election. It's very anticlimactic. And then,
and look, to be honest, I think it does probably fit into the zeitgeist of false flags, but to some degree, there's a lot of misinformation about the whole this case, like Ryan's highlighting. but yeah, let's get back to, you know, kind of where we were talking about here, because I think when we talk about this stuff, right, where it's very clear that the media has one narrative, but the truth says another, right? And the truth is obviously something we're all concerned with. But when we put this type of content out on the internet, we're at risk ourselves of being censored, being demonetized, deplatformed. So maybe we can like kind of chime in on where you guys think that's going before we wrap up here. And like, you know,
well, just one thing, like before we move on, do you guys think that there's any possibility that the George Floyd video in itself is all CGI and all manufactured?
No.
Really?
Oh. I mean, it's
a possible. Lot of people think that's fake, you know, but I don't know. I've like for some reason
the timing is so perfect and it's just a funnel for the DNC. Sure. And I mean, they've threatened to use CGI against us in other cases, and
he is an actor and he was a porn star, and it doesn't make sense. Like that's
people have said that he died 3 years before that.
That's true. His attorney, his own attorney.
True.
You know, I mean, so I'm not I don't want to call you a liar or say you're wrong, but it's just like, fuck, what we saw, the collective consciousness believe it's true. So we just have to speak of it as the fact, you know. But even though we know it could be, you know, we could be deceived. But, you know, because I guess the collective consciousness thinks that it did happen. I guess that's how we talk about it in those terms.
Yeah, I don't think it's CGI, but I do think it's possible that it was like filmed.
Well,
in
this is
studio.
My point. Even if it's CGI, it's real because what we saw collectively, majority of people think it's real, whether it's real or not.
Sure.
This is a form of censorship. I mean, in the future, how do we know they're not going to use CGI to censor real events, you know, like that are recorded?
Well, did I say this earlier?
Or blackmail new events.
Well, I want to say this one point. I might have said this earlier with Lala, but like, this is how dumb society is that when A&W Hamburgers opened up, they tried to do a big marketing survey to see, to go against a quarter pounder at McDonald's. So they asked people which burger they thought was bigger, the third pound burger or the quarter pound burger. And the majority of people picked the quarter pounder burger because they saw one, you know, over the four instead of one third. And so they actually thought that was bigger. So they thought that was more meat. So that's what we're working with. We're working with people that are so dumb and can be so easily convinced of anything, dude. That's like in the group think we only get dumber the bigger the group gets. So this is the problem, is the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And that's the problem, is we're going to good intention ourselves into the apocalypse.
And this is one defense that I think both sides. I understand that there's this idea out there that if enough people believe it, it becomes real. But there is also this real logical fallacy that you guys got to deal with when either side is talking about this. When they claim the argument, yeah, most people believe it is this, therefore my argument is right. When they say that, this is an appeal to populace, right? Ad populum. It's that in and of itself is not good. Enough to convince anyone of anything, even from the skeptic's perspective, I would think, unless it is tapping into and screwing with some matrix that you guys are also being imaginative with. So,
see, look, we're all being so nice to you, Brandon, and then you start trying to poke the bear right here. You know what I mean? Like something bad's going to happen. Let's talk about vaccines.
Brandon, that was not even one coherent word that you said. That psychobabble that you just spit out made no sense. That was Moderna and Pfizer wrote whatever you just said.
It's
and
actually
spit it out. And your computer chip did not have the memory to be able to spit it out correctly. Because whatever you're saying, I didn't understand one word. And
it's actually Latin. And I love you too, cocksucker. No, we're just
kidding. Ron, your thoughts?
Well, Brandon, wasn't your first shot Pfizer and your second one Moderna? Wasn't there like that? That was
both Pfizer. That's how I'm brought to you by the letter.
That's the good one. They say that's the one they say. That's a Rolls Royce. Yeah, Pfizer is the good one, and then AstraZeneca and Johnson Johnson. That's like the one you don't want. And this is what they said. A guy said on the Howard Stern show, the King of All Blacks. He said, "Yo, go Pfizer's the top dog, and then Moderna's number two, and then motherfucking Johnson and Johnson, AstraZeneca. Those shits motherfucking outlawed in Denmark and shit. So you don't want to fuck with them." But yeah, Pfizer is supposedly the top dog.
If Pfizer is Rolls Royce, that makes sense because of his white privilege, you know.
The problem is, this is my last question. I got to ask you this question. This actually is important. So they're going to say 6-month booster shots. Are you going to get the 6-month booster shot?
Yes, I'll answer for him. Yes, he will, and he'll do it with a smile.
Is that true?
I'll do it because I have a job to keep, and I'm not afraid of needles. Yes, yes.
Wow.
Your job can't fire you over the vaccine.
This is the problem. And I don't want to, I'm going to take this off and this will be behind a paywall for my show, but now we don't have to get into some huge debate, but this is the problem is even I think the Pfizer one is if it gets to a certain temperature, it can create what do they call a hot shot and it can become poisonous. So you're telling me it's not that even the medicine they give you, which I obviously, you know, it's mRNA experimental and it's, you know, just has FDA emergency approval. I don't want to get into all that, but I'm saying, on top of my point, it's like you're taking a vaccine that you don't need. Gosh, what was my point about the vaccine? I lost my train of thought when I started talking about the FDA not approved. But God, what was my point? I was going to say some shit about the vaccine. Now I lost my train of thought. Well,
was it that it's just that it's not required? Like you can't get fired over your job because of that?
No, I was going to say something
else. Well, that's what I was
saying. Really important point. What I'm saying is you're never going to stop taking these vaccines. And so you really are. Is that really true? Like when they ask you in this is what I'm talking about. This is the most important part. This is what I'm trying to say. It's called the hot shot. If the Pfizer goes into a over temperature and then it doesn't go into the cold, because in the morning when they give them to them, they actually thaw out supposedly. That's why they give them in the afternoon or something. So like if you get a shot that happened to and the temperature gauge, it got within that range that makes it poisonous, then you could theoretically get, like, this is what they're saying, this allegedly entertainment purposes only, this is what they say, blood clots, and you know, or whatever the fuck, worse. And you know, obviously they say not one person has died, so that's how you know it's full of shit. But I mean, fuck, dude, I just can't believe you're gonna do that. I just really can't believe
so
that.
I'll tell you real quick, and I know I see your chat already chomping at me here, man, but by the same logic that you guys weren't concerned about the virus itself, because I don't know if anyone here thinks that it was legitimately all contrived and that literally no one is dying, but by the same metric of just numbers, I'm not concerned about any kind of recourse, because they're, from what I see, they're putting out the real, they're putting out numbers, at least. If you guys want
to, you think they're correct, alternate... though? You don't think Big Pharma has any incentive to lie about it and mislead the public?
No, I think that that is no, that
see,
is,
this is the problem. This true. Is the problem wait, for wait, me. Wait, oh, wait, this is the last thing, because I haven't talked too much, but let me just make this point, then I'll shut up. It's called problem reaction solution. It's a Hegelian dialectic, and people don't realize the solution was for Big Pharma was to sell a bunch of vaccines, and now they got people like you virtue signaling and taking shots for 6 months for the rest of their life until you get a hot shot, and then you're fatal and you die. So I'm just saying that's why they created and rebranded the flu. It's so obvious. It's like obvious, Phil, but I just can't believe you can't see that, Brandon. Like, how are you so asleep at the wheel, dog? Especially for a virus with a 99.9% survival rate, like even if you get it, dude, that's the sniffles. You're like a thin young man. You're ripping lung darts. I mean, you sound like you sound really hypocritical to me personally. And I think it's your poison from bad hot shots that were not. And the military, you know that sometimes they transport stuff in those trucks. They don't have the proper cooling. And I know you got one of those special hepatitis vaccines. And I know this because I was one semester pre-med. So I'm basically a doctor. So you can listen to what I say as a fact. And this isn't entertainment purposes. This is a fact. So you got one of those things as a fact, for sure. You got a hot shot. And now this is why the way you are and you're MK Ultra. And I love you. That's why I like you, because I need a punching bag. It's like Joe Rogan. You know what I mean? You can't kick himself. You got to have a punching bag. So every time you come on here, I just want to tell you, I love you. And I really appreciate it, man.
I understand that, Alex. The best thing about that is that now you don't have to engage with any of my points at all, because I'm fucked in the head, right? No, that's a great way to get around all arguments that I'm making.
No, I'm more fucked in the head than you. I'm worse than you. Okay, to be fair, I'm more fucked up than you. That's fair. I'll give you Brandon, that. But I'm really fucked up. That's not a compliment either. I mean, the reason I'm more fucked up than you, I mean, I'm really fucked up. Look what I just talked about. I mean, give me a break. But you're not close off either. Go ahead. Sorry. I concede.
No. It's all right, Brandon. You don't even need to hear it from Alex. There's Dr. Kaufman, Shiba Irde.
There's my fucking there's my fucking cousin there every fucking time we record, Ryan dude. Dean. What are you talking about? I need to go far for that shit.
Hey, you know what, dude? We had a fucking incident the other day, and I know that we're wrapping up here, but we had an incident the other day where someone came at Brandon in such a sideways fucking manner. It was disgusting how some people talk. Even in this community, in the conspiracy community, someone came at Brandon in a very fucked up way.
That's a real. And we got to end on this note. Keep going about this. This is very correct. See, we're more toxic within this community than the other people against us. Brandon, you're more polite. I know. I chose teased you. I actually like you. I respect you. Thank you for.
But that's preserving. A joke. Alex.
I actually don't. I know, but I actually respect you for doing that. Even though I tease you about it, I don't hate you for going over there. I respect you. I know that you did it under good circumstances. You know what I mean? So I respect you 100%. I respect you. I don't necessarily respect the troops, the idea of the war, never ending war, but I respect you 100%.
Neither do I. So we're in a whole bunch of agreement, Alex.
Honestly, Alex, the way that you do it is funny. It's just honestly,
but it's toxic. But go ahead, tell us what happened. I'm very interested.
I want to hear what happened with Brandon.
No, dude, some fucking dude came at Brandon really fucked up, and Brandon actually was like, he wasn't upset about it at all. He was just telling me, he was like, hey man, like, there's just this one dude that I want to go back at, and I want to just say, I just want to talk a little shit back. But the thing was, this dude was talking so much disgraceful shit, saying really fucked up things to Brandon. He's laughing, but he knew he was pissed. And he was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I was like, hey, Brandon, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I talked to this dude, and this fucking Brandon told the guy, he was like, hey, here's my phone number. Why don't we talk about it? And the dude fucking blocked his personal Instagram. So this is what happens when people fucking want to like talk a lot of shit. And then someone that's just like coming from a different side wants to say, hey, let's talk about it, dude. Because this dude was insulting his fucking personal
Brandon.
Life.
So wait, you said you would talk to his ass, and he was that big of a bitch ass?
He blocked him. He was a big bitch,
wow.
dude.
See,
bitch.
That so, shows you. See, Brandon, you're not a bitch. You come here and you talk. That's one thing, dude. You have a lot of balls. I'll give you that. I mean,
was this on a show, Ryan? Was this on a show?
No, Brandon wants to say something. Let's hear it.
It was not on a show, Ryan. Ron, I'll show you the thread myself if we get around to it. I will tell you though, I am the prime example of being a PSYOP MK Ultra case. So Ryan already knows this, but I got the white lighter, right? I got Catcher in the Rye sitting right there. My grandma told me. Every week, after we talked to her about my father who had allegedly committed suicide, that he was killed by the CIA, dude. Like I'm telling you, I am prime set up for this. So you guys have every reason to disbelieve me. I love you that you guys just grace me with allowing me to ask a question every now and then because your guys' answers paint my.
Brandon, I paint a picture of you a lot better, and now I understand why you are so strong. You are a tough person. Now I understand you're tougher than me. So that's
you know what I say, Brandon. I mean, you know, like you're the liberal lefty in the whole gang here, obviously I think the world of you, and you take a beating a lot, and you take it well, and you always come back very respectful and this and that. But I think, you know, if I was there and somebody was getting on Brandon shit, and I was there, I don't think that would have went over too good, because I back Brandon up any day of the week.
That's how it goes with me too.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the problem, dude. So, I appreciate everyone getting on here, having the conversation about false flags. But with that being said, I mean, like, no one ever has to fucking, like, insult family or just talk the fucking nastiest shit that you can possibly think of. If you think that you need to do that, take a knife and run into it, because that's where you belong, because you don't need to fucking talk any shit, okay? So that's my last words here. Let's finish this shit up.
Well, I thought we were going to, where'd Mark go? Mark's disappeared.
He's smoking a bowl.
I'm here. I'm not smoking.
Well, we can watch that. I don't have a problem with that. Mark, were we going to talk about Alt Media United tonight?
No, we don't really have time, but that's all right. That's all right. I appreciate that though. But everybody who's here knows about it. We have a website. So, you know, considering that we're live right now, people can maybe check that out. But, you know,
I did want to say one thing though. Lala, I agree with you. That whole George Floyd thing was horseshit. I think that's, I don't think any of that actually happened the way that it went down that the media is telling us. I agree with you 100%. And I just followed you from my Wicked Planet podcast page. So now we're going to be in contact on occasion because I like the way you think.
Awesome. Nice to meet you.
Well, I'm Ron from New England, by the way. I didn't get introduced, so that's who I am.
Well, it is nice to meet you.
Yeah, if you let me share a screen, I can show your website.
No, it's all right, Alex. Mm-hmm. We're not really, cool with it.
You're in the beta.
Kind of low key, but if we all want to go around and just plug where people can find us, I mean, Ron, you should start first because obviously you got a new podcast called the Wicked Planet podcast. I think it's a cool podcast. People should check it out. Ron, go ahead. Tell them more about it.
Yeah, you can find me at Ron from New England on Instagram. That's my main page. And then I have my, the Wicked Planet podcast page on Instagram also. And people can find me there. The podcast is, it's on the Alt Media United, page and it's on all your other podcast platforms. Hey, and I want to give a thanks to a lot of you guys here that, actually kicked me in the ass to get my podcast going. You know, I've been a guest on your show, Ryan and Joe and Jen and Ben and Mark and everybody. And I've been on your shows a ton of times and I really appreciate that. But I'm branching out to try to do my own thing here and hopefully that goes well. And I just want to thank everybody for the help. And everybody's been really great in this podcast community. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate you too. Joe, Jen, you guys want to, and Ben, obviously, you guys want to.
Yeah, thank you and Alex for having us on. I didn't know it was going to be such a crowd tonight, but that's awesome. We're a Legit Bat together, the three of us. It's a Legit Bat podcast on Instagram. We actually just launched our channel on Rockfin today. So it's rockfin.com/legitbat.
Oh, cool.
We'll put up some shit pretty soon. I don't know. Once I figure it all out. But Brandon, we love you. I love you.
We all love Brandon. Oh, and it was nice to meet Alex, too. It was the first time I met Alex.
Yes, I need to have you on, Ron. Thank you. We think alike. I like those 72 short cigarettes. You know, those are always good because, you know, especially if you mix a little powder of cocaine with those, they get really good, you know, because they have a little tip in it. We used to put it in the tip. Those have those funny tip on them, right? The 72s, is that correct?
No.
Oh, just, the Parliament shorts maybe have that, but still the 72s. We used to, God, those cigarettes. I had a lot of wild times. So I woke up very fucked up and sick. So I don't miss the cigs all that much, but if you guys want to party, the 72s are a good way to do it. Okay, but back to my channel. It was nice to meet everybody, especially Brandon. I really, you know, we connected not enough time, an hour and 15 minutes of record time. So, you know, this is one of those, you know, diet podcasts, you know, people can get a succinct information. But we talked about a lot of truth. We talked about Timothy McVeigh. We talked about documents that might have been, you know, necessarily deleted by the FBI. So, you know, we covered a lot of topics tonight, but I just want to say thank you to everybody. Thank you to Mark. Thank you to Lala Bean. My girl Lala Beams, you know, I want to say thank you to Ryan. And then, you know, of course, Ben. And so the Legit Bat, is that for Legit Bat Shit Crazy? Is that what that stands for?
That's not the first time I've heard that, but no, it's just a dick joke. It's a long story.
Legit Bat. Okay, well, I thought maybe Legit Bat.
No, it's for the bat that started COVID, obviously.
Oh, shy. I like that bat.
And the now you guys see how people make connections that are false.
Yeah, that's fair. You're right.
Fake news.
You're right, Ben. Okay, Lala, well, thank you guys for all being on my show. Lala. Thank you all tonight.
Do you have a podcast to plug, Lala? Or
oh yeah, I have a podcast. It's called Lala Beams. It's on all major platforms and on Instagram. If you like shit posting memes, come find me.
Cool. Very awesome. And then you can find me at myfamilythinksimcrazy.com. As we hinted at, we got Alt Media United, which is a podcast cooperative, and there's more news to come. But if you guys go to the website, you'll see kind of the bare bones of it. I'm going to add more cool stuff as time goes on, but there's a lot of great stuff there already. And yeah, Alex, dude, you're awesome. I'm glad you were able to stream this to your big audience there on YouTube. And obviously people know where to find me. Ryan, Brandon, you guys were kind of also at the head of creating this podcast tonight. Please go ahead and tell people where they can find you guys.
Yeah, man. I mean, Dangerous World Podcast. You can find us anywhere you're listening to podcasts. We're really pushing the Patreon right now. Dangerous World Podcast on Patreon. $3 to listen to extended versions of episodes. And
yeah, we all got Patreons, contents. Okay? Listen, we all have Patreons.
Hey, subscribe shut up. To all our Patreons. Hey, hop in and you're bullshit.
Yeah, that's true, but somebody should join a Patreon. Be nice to somebody. Go join a $3 Patreon. Go, come on, join it.
Yeah, how are you going to jump in and fucking interrupt? I'm trying to do my plug.
Come on.
Yeah, I know, dude. Now you just fucked up my entire flow. No, I mean, now...
your flow's fine. You can get back in it, but somebody go join now.
Also, they've got some really cool merch at Dangerous World, which I don't have, so you can get that.
Hey, Mark, fuck you, okay? It doesn't matter if you're trying to tell me about the fucking merch now at this
look
point.
Look at it. It's all behind him. He made those shirts.
About the merch. It was never about the merch.
You made those behind you, right? Those shirts behind you?
Yeah, they're great. Do you like those? You can kind of see them. I'll tilt it a little bit.
It's about the Patreon, Mark. Give us a break. Come on.
I know. We're all trying to make money here, dude, and now you're just fucking me up. So, I mean, hey.
It's not that bad. Instead, you can still get
you know what? Instead of donations.
Instead of subscribing to the Dangerous World Patreon, just go ahead and go to the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy Patreon. Pay that fucking fee. And just fuck Dangerous World. There, it doesn't matter what we're doing, okay?
Nothing matters.
It's all about Mark here. So
hey, I think I pay all you guys. Come to think of it,
you need to pay me more. You need to pay me about $2,500 a
Ron,
month minimum.
I think that's true.
Go
to Mark and just pay him instead of giving him $3. Give him $20. You know. And,
I need $3,700 from every single one of you, and also I need you guys to join this cult and sign a 1,000-year contract. Like it's kind of so. If you guys are willing to
do that,
it's funny. It's funny, but on a serious level, I mean, I think there's a lot of people who are in a position who can like give each of us $2, and yeah, it might only be $2, but that $2 adds up and it helps us do what we're doing right now, because like even the Zoom meeting costs money. Alex streaming costs money, you know, hosting your podcast costs money. So we all want to do this fun stuff and put this content out there, but there's a cost to us. So it's not really like, oh, we're making money off you guys. It's like, no, you guys like our show, help us make the show. That's pretty much how it works. And we don't have
a big
budget.
It's a simple concept, Mark.
Yeah. So I love to joke around about it, but I think it's worth explaining.
Yeah, give us all $2, but instead of the $2 that you would give to the Dangerous World, give $4 to My Family Thinks I'm Crazy, and just forget about the Dangerous World, okay?
Well,
have a good night, though, guys.
I need $3,300.
You're being dramatic. You're being a little crybaby over there.
I think I'm
going to subscribe to the higher tier for the Dangerous World podcast just because you did that.
The minimum tier is mine. Is $33,000 a month is the minimum tier. And all
Jesus, Alex's price keeps going up.
I know. It's because I'm realizing what I'm worth. I'm just realizing that I'm worth it. You know, you can only get secret knowledge, the most secret knowledge. So
if you think about it, what we tell people, like the knowledge that we put out to people, they should be paying us for that. I mean, CNN, they get paid all kinds of money and they're talking shit.
In all honesty, like they said, a couple of bucks, guys, come on, throw it to us. And I'm not trying to e-bag. It takes a lot of time. This restream costs money to send it all this stuff. It's not free. And like I said, we're not doing this for the money. We're doing this for the love of the game, for the passion. So if we don't see passion, then don't donate. But if you guys see somebody that's passionate about it, then maybe help that passion and help that passion grow.
It's a plus. It keeps us going. But with that, I mean, this has been so fun. I think everybody got a chance to speak up and give their opinion, and we're definitely going to do this again, and I hope all of you guys, you know, continue to do shows together, because that's kind of the spirit of this, is like, let's just keep doing shows and keep building this community of podcasters. So with that, I mean, let's end it, guys. Thanks for everything. I appreciate everybody joining us, and have a good night. Thanks for listening, folks.
Peace.
Thanks, y'all.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.